This episode is brought to you by EY. How can EY teams help you create a better version of your company? We work with you to turn data into greater insights, invest to drive growth, and realize your strategic vision through thoughtful implementation. Visit ey.com/reimagine to learn more.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take and Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Bloomberg Quick Takes' Tim Stenovic on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, one thing we love trying to figure out is what the world is going to look like on the other side of this pandemic. And when are we actually going to get there? There are a lot of people trying to figure that out right now. Airbnb said last month it's going to allow its employees to work from anywhere. We learned yesterday that Goldman Sachs is giving unlimited vacations to senior employees. And then just today, a few hours ago, we learned from Mark Gurman that Apple is delaying its 3-day per week return to office plan as a result to an uptick in COVID cases. Somebody who spends a lot of time thinking about all of this, the future of work, is Sheila Subramanian. She's co-founder and vice president of the Future Forum. It's a research consortium founded by Slack that focuses on the future of work. She's also the co-author of the new book, How the Future Works, Leading Flexible Teams to Do the Best Work of Their Lives. Sheila, it's good to have you. How are you?
Thank you for having me. I am doing great.
The first thing I noticed you're joining us via Zoom is that it looks like you're joining us from a home office rather than from a corporate office. Is that right?
Yes, this background, this is not a Slack office. I'm calling in from my basement.
Okay, so how does an executive lead a team in an environment like this, in a world like this, to perform the best when they're so distributed?
Yes, so one thing I just want to set the context on is so much of the conversation about flexibility is about location. It's about where people work. But what people find more important is actually when they work. What we're seeing from our research at Future Forum is that 94% of employees want flexibility in their schedules as well. And so the last couple of years have really marked a shift in terms of what people's expectations for work truly are. And also to your question, how executives can lead in this new world. A big piece of advice I give executives is that you need to lead with trust. So much of performance measurement prior to the pandemic was this person's the first in and the last to leave, so they're worthy of a promotion. And there often wasn't conversation about the results, the outcomes, the impact that person was making on the organization. And so this has been a massive shift for leaders to think more about how do you lead a distributed team? How do you lead with trust? And ultimately, how do you make work for all types of people rather than the select few who benefited prior to the pandemic?
I love that you brought up the trust factor, because one of the inventions of the pandemic, I have to say, a friend of mine actually introduced this to me, Tim, and Sheila, you'll find this funny as well, but the software that like moves your mouse for you if you're ever away from your desk.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh my gosh. Sheila, okay. Have you heard about this?
Yes. And we write about this in the book. It's monitoring software to ensure that your employees are working when they say that they're working.
And you're saying working in air quotes right now.
Yeah, I am saying.
Okay.
But it's to show that you're online while you're getting a bite to eat or whatever, and basically just moves your cursor for you, so you're online for a hot second. A friend of mine told me this, and she's like, "I'll share it with you." And I was like, "Well, no need. I'm in the office. There, they'll see if I'm not there." But Sheila, I have to ask you. You talk about trust. So outside of the mouse software, apparently, how do you build that kind of trust in an environment where so many people are saying the only way to learn is shoulder to shoulder, face to face?
Yeah, there are many outdated ways of working that leaders have been increasingly relying on. It's being shoulder to shoulder, face to face, working between the hours of 9 to 5, being in the office 5 days a week. And so much of the shift that leaders need to make is, yes, trust, and trusting people to do their work on their terms. And one key way leaders can do that is actually by focusing on the outcomes, the results that people are producing, rather than this person responded to my email in 5 seconds, so I know that they are a dedicated employee. we've seen a lot of CEOs say that people who don't want to come into the office, they lack hustle or they lack motivation or commutes are not that big of a deal. But over the last 2 years, we've seen productivity measures rise. People have actually been able to exceed what people, what leaders thought were, was ever possible. And they were able to do this overnight. And this is thanks to collaboration technology. This is thanks to the way that we communicate with one another. So leaders need to show what good looks like. They need to set expectations on what some of the goals are, and they need to empower their employees to do it on their terms, rather than continuing to expect them to adhere to really outdated norms of professionalism.
We're speaking right now to Sheila Subramanian. She's the co-founder and vice president of Future Forum. It's a research consortium that's founded by Slack that focuses on the future of work. She's also the co-author of the new book. It's called How the Future Works, Leading Flexible Teams to Do the Best Work of Their Lives. When we come back, I want to hear about case studies when it comes to what's working right now, considering that this is all an experiment that's really still relatively new. We're going to continue our conversation with Sheila Subramanian in just a few.
When cybercriminals strike, the difference between a catastrophic event and resilience is preparedness. Finance leaders who plan ahead can thwart the damage posed by ransomware. Yet in a recent EY poll, only 23% of directors expressed confidence in their organization's ability to respond to a ransomware attack. Cyber preparedness is just one facet of the complex risk landscape finance leaders face every day. Now more than ever, it's vital to keep ahead of developments. Cybercrime, macroeconomic conditions, ESG reporting. You can't predict the future, but you can prepare for it. By understanding your risk, you can make your business resilient to challenges on the road ahead. What's more, you can turn those risks into opportunities. EY helps CFOs, boards, and audit committees see beyond the numbers to uncover the critical insights that make their organizations resilient, even in an ever-shifting landscape. For more insights that matter, visit ey.com/beyondthenumbers.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal wherever you get your podcast.
And watch on Bloomberg Originals, Bloomberg Television, or BTV Plus.
Few minutes.
We're going to get back into a really interesting conversation here with Sheila Subramanian, co-founder and vice president of Future Forum and the co-author of How the Future Works, Leading Flexible Teams to Do the Best Work of Their Lives. She joins us on Zoom from Oakland, California. Sheila, we were just talking about Apple delaying a plan to have staff in the office 3 days a week, and they specified which 3 days. They said Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. Can you explain the logic behind that?
I can't explain the logic behind what Apple's decision was in terms of those specific days, but I can explain some of the backlash we're seeing with regards to top-down mandates across entire companies. In our book, we talk a lot about the importance of team-level agreements, where teams get together and say, this is how we want to work together. These are the days we want to come into the office, either quarterly or monthly or weekly, and these are the hours where we want to collaborate with one another. And the beauty of team-level agreements is that it's about the team. And with the top-down mandates that we're seeing across companies, not just in tech, but across the board, the challenge there is that you're assuming that work is one size fits all, that everybody's work is similar. But the work of an engineering team is fundamentally different than a work of a marketer. And you're also assuming that everybody is located within driving distance of headquarters or of the nearest office. So this is an opportunity for leaders to say, all right, we're going to build our principles, the purpose behind our flexible work. We're going to encourage some behavioral guardrails, but we're going to empower our team leaders, our managers, to figure out what works best for them. And by doing that, you're enabling teams to do their best work on their terms, rather than saying this is the only way that people can work.
Sheila, when I see news like, you know, Apple requiring their workers to come back 3 days a week, you know, putting that off for now, but we know it's inevitable. At least that's what it sounds like from the company. And then I see companies like Airbnb, Brian Chesky coming out and saying, you guys can work from anywhere. Now, granted, okay, with an Airbnb, obviously the company's talking its book right there, because if it's saying that it can be successful with people working from anywhere, then that's good for its business, because then people, well, you know, use Airbnbs to go live anywhere and work from anywhere. But from a competitive standpoint, how does a company like Apple compete with a company like Airbnb when it comes to attracting and retaining talent?
What we're seeing from the research is that flexibility matters. It's second only behind compensation when determining job satisfaction. And what's more interesting in the context of the great resignation, or the great rethink is how I like to frame it, is that 71% of employees who are not happy with their current levels of flexibility, both in terms of where they work and when they work, are open to looking for a new job in the next year. So it's really critical for companies, regardless of size and brand and compensation, to think about flexibility. And I said, as I said earlier, it's about trust. Employees want to be trusted, and they want to have the choice in terms of working on their terms. And that's going to be really important as we move forward into this new way of working.
Sheila, I've got to ask about the role of women here, because I believe there was a stat out that when you had so much of the labor force essentially pull out in terms of participation, women took the brunt of that because of childcare issues. And I think that goes to serve or goes to kind of point out so many issues that have to do with kind of the role that women play. But as they get more and more back into the workforce, you see childcare becoming a bigger and bigger issue. I remember a conversation, and Tim, back me up on this or don't, for lack of a better term. There was a conversation ages ago, I remember, from Sheryl Sandberg, and Emily Chang, our very own from Bloomberg Technology, asked her, when you do kind of remote working, Sheryl Sandberg was very vocal about wanting to put her kids to sleep and, you know, taking time off between 5 and 7 to just spend time with her family. And Emily asked her, well, do you log back on after they go to sleep at 9, 10 o'clock? And she goes, of course we do. Of course I do. And so Sheila, I have to put that scenario to you, because you made a very strong point about trusting the work gets done and trusting, the flexible hours are in fact used, but does it still make sense to offer, say, a late night, like 9, 10 o'clock for people who do still have to do childcare, for example?
Yes, there's a lot in there. What we're seeing from our research is that 82% of working moms want flexibility in where they work. And that's the highest since we began surveying 2 years ago. There's a lot in terms of flexibility in when you work. And an example that we've adopted is from Dropbox. They've encouraged their teams to have core team working hours. So that's chunks in any given day where people come together to collaborate, to meet, to discuss specific topics. And outside of those working hours, you are able to do what you need to do. For my team, our core team working hours are 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., Monday through Thursday. Outside of that time, I drop my kids off at school. I sometimes chaperone field trips, I pick them up. And it's been able to provide a balance that I didn't have prior to the pandemic, when I was running to commute to the city every single day and coming home exhausted, making dinner for everybody and putting them to bed.
It sounds great. It does, seriously.
Of you put the kids to bed and then you have to go back to work. That's not always the case. And the beauty of a nonlinear workday, or flexibility in when you work, is that people have choice as to when works best for them. For some people, it's in the morning. Some people, it's the middle of the day, 9 to 5. But at least people have a choice in terms of when they're able to do their best focus work.
Is this? I mean, I'm trying to think of what's permanent and what's not, Sheila. But it really seems like this is a fundamental shift in the way we work, and it's going to stick. What do you think?
Absolutely. I think that we're not going back to how things were back in 2019, 2020. And now leaders need to adapt, they need to adjust, they need to be intentional in terms of building a new way of working that meets employees' needs.
But is that dangerous? And I'm gonna put my contrarian hat on here for a second, because you hear these stories from even China, for example, the closed loop system, where they're spending 36 hours nonstop working, sleeping in the factories or wherever that they work. And they're able to say that this is a more efficient system. So I have to ask you, if you do have flexibility, is efficiency then at risk?
I think a big piece of this is also like what the guardrails that leaders are setting from the top. You can't say, hey, we're flexible, just do what you need to do. You need to have some level of principles, as well as what are the behavioral guardrails that we're looking to encourage. And a big piece of that is to ensure that people don't burn out or they're not working around the clock to show that they're always online or they're committed to their jobs. And with figuring out what flexibility looks like for specific organizations, for specific leaders need to set that tone from the top. Like at Slack, as an example, we said, like, you can't come back into the office 5 days a week if you're a senior leader within the organization.
I love
we
that.
Also to use scheduled send.
It's kind of like what Matt Boyle wrote about when it comes to leading by example, when it comes to unlimited vacation. Sheila Subramanian, co-founder and vice president of the Future Forum, also the co-author of How the Future Works, leading flexible teams to do the best work of their lives.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take and Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.